Chapter 9. A Love Song and a Rat. It was evening. The June sun was still high in the sky, and Winston was standing in the little room above Mr. Charrington's shop. The bed had pillows and blankets on it. The old clock with the 12-hour face was ticking on the shelf above the fireplace, and Winston's glass paperweight, in a corner on a little table, was shining in the sunlight. In front of the fireplace, a pan of water was on an old stove which Mr. Charrington had provided. Winston had brought an envelope filled with victory coffee with him. The clock's hands said 7:20, but it was 19:20 really. Julia was coming at 19:30. While Winston was waiting for Julia, he watched a fat prole woman singing a popular love song and hanging washing in the backyard. It was a song the proles had been singing for weeks. The words were romantic and stupid, probably written by a machine in the music department at the Ministry of Truth. But the woman had a beautiful, deep voice, and the song sounded quite lovely. Winston had rented the room from Mr. Charrington, who seemed pleased to earn a few dollars and unsurprised that Winston was going to bring a woman to it. But Winston knew he was taking a big risk. It was an offence for party members to have relationships with each other, and they would be punished if they were caught. They had not been able to meet for a number of weeks because of the preparations for Hate Week. When he explained the idea of meeting in the room above the shop, Julia had agreed at once, but they both knew what a crazy thing it was to do. "We've taken another step towards our deaths in the Ministry of Love," Winston thought as he sat on the bed to wait for her. At that moment, Julia ran into the room carrying a tool bag, which she opened at once.
"Look what I've brought," she said.
"If you've brought some of that horrible victory coffee, you can throw it away." She sat on the floor and pulled the tools out of the bag. Underneath them were some paper packets. The first packet she gave to Winston felt as if it was full of sand. He thought he recognised how it felt and asked,
"Is it sugar?"
"Yes, real sugar. And I've got some white bread and a little jar of jam and a tin of milk. But look at this."
She began to remove some cloth from around a packet.
"I had to wrap it up because of the smell."
The rich smell was filling the room. Winston knew it from when he was a child.
"It's real coffee," he said.
"It's all inner party stuff," said Julia. "But of course, it's easy to buy things on the black market. Now, sit on the bed with your back to me and don't turn round till I tell you to."
As Winston waited, he could still hear the prole woman singing in the backyard.
"You can turn round now," said Julia.
For a second, Winston did not recognise her. She had painted her face like a prole woman. Her lips and her cheeks were red. She looked much prettier and like a woman. This was the first time that he had ever seen a female party member with makeup on. He took her in his arms.
"And you've got perfume as well?" he asked.
"Yes," she replied. "Next, I'm going to get a dress and some nice shoes. In this room, I'm going to be a woman, not a party member."
They took off their clothes quickly, fell onto the big bed together, and made love. Double beds were rare, and Julia had never been in one before. After a while, they fell asleep for a short time. The clock's hands showed 9 o'clock when Winston woke up. He did not move because Julia was sleeping with her head on his arm. He looked at her beautiful face, a little red makeup still on her cheek. The evening sun shone gently on the end of the bed.
He wondered whether in the past it was normal for a man and a woman to lie in bed with no clothes on, making love when they wanted to, and saying whatever they wanted to each other. Was there ever a time when it was ordinary to do this? Julia woke up.
"I'll get up and make some coffee in a moment," she said.
Then suddenly she shouted,
"Oi! Get out, you dirty animal!"
She picked up a shoe from beside the bed and threw it across the room.
"What was it?"
asked Winston in surprise.
"A rat," she replied. "I saw his horrible nose. There's a hole over there."
"Rats," said Winston quietly, "in this room."
"They're everywhere,"
said Julia. She did not sound worried.
"Did you know they attack children? People won't leave their babies alone. It's the big brown rats that are the worst. They..."
"Stop! Don't go on," said Winston, his eyes tightly shut.
"What's the matter? You've gone so pale," said Julia.
"Rats! The most horrible things in the world," he whispered, his eyes still shut. Julia put her arms around him and held him close to her. For a few moments, Winston kept his eyes closed. He was back in a horrible dream, standing in front of a wall of darkness, knowing there was something terrifying on the other side.
"I'm sorry," he said at last. "It's nothing. I hate rats, that's all."
"Don't worry," she said. "I'll put something in the hole before we go, so they can't get in again."
Julia got out of bed, pulled on her overalls, and made the coffee. The smell from the pan was so strong that they closed the window in case anyone outside smelled it. What made the coffee even better was the sugar, which made it smooth in a way Winston had almost forgotten. As she drank her coffee and ate bread and jam, Julia walked around the room. She stopped in front of the picture of the church.
"What's this place?" she asked. "I've seen it before."
"It was a church called St. Clement's Dane," Winston replied.
"That picture is really dirty," said Julia. "I'll take it down one day and clean it. I suppose it's time we left. I'll wash this makeup off, then I'll get it off your face as well."
Winston lay on the bed a bit longer. It was getting dark now, and he lay on his side, looking into the glass paperweight. He had the feeling that he and Julia were inside it, with the bed and the clock and the picture and the paperweight itself. The paperweight was the room they were in, and the coral was Julia's life and his own fixed in its centre.